You know, that song is so true. It's interesting that we have a refuge.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to, like, struggle on your own. Mm-hmm. You have a place, you know, where God is there, where you can meet God, and He can help you out. You know, lately we've been talking about mountains, going up in a mountain and seeing God.
Yeah.
And this is really important. To have this experience where you come out of this world for a second. It's like this, like, you know, because life is like a current, like a heavy rushing river. And we all are swept away in that current. Like, even from a child, we would grow up, we go to school, we're taught a certain thing. And, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, high school, what college are you going to go to? You know, you got to go to college. You want to get a good job. You know, you got to go somewhere. Hey, come on, fill out those applications. Come on, get in the groove. Get in the flow. So then go to college. You graduate. You get your job. You get married. Then, you know, your first day at work, you're driving with your shirt, with your new clothes on, your new tie. It's a really good experience. You're nervous. You're excited at the same time. And you get to work, and everybody's like, hey, you're going to love working here. You know, it's going to be great. Then 3 years later, you have eaten the same thing for breakfast for 3 years straight. You've driven the same way, you know what I mean, to work each day. You wake up at the same time. You take your break at the same time. You park in the same spot 3 years. And you know where you're going to be 2 weeks from now. You know, 9:30 or 8:30 in the morning, you know where you're going to be at. You know the lights getting to work. You know, if you make this light, you get the rest of them, right? Because you've been this way, and life is like a routine now. And in one sense, you can say, "All right, did you choose it? Yeah, but did you really choose it? No. You were kind of caught up in the current of life, and you end up in a certain place because you kind of swept away. You were swept away from a kid, swept away in the current of life." It's just a current. It's a flow, and if you stepping out of it is hard, man. You try stepping out of that current. It's really hard because you've been doing it for so long, and you know how to do it, and you're comfortable with it. But to have a mountain experience is really important, because for a second you step up out of that current, and the current is still going, but now you're on a mountain. Looking at God. And now you can see it, but it's hard. And I feel like all of our life, the current is going on, and Jesus is like, he's trying to step in, and it's rushing, and he's trying to step in to get your attention. Maybe still a minute with you, have a second with you, and the current is going, and Jesus is like, oh, can I have your attention? Can I get in there? But when you have a mountain experience, you step out of that for a second. You step out, and you see God. And you learn something about God. We're going to look at this story in Matthew 17. Let's read it real quick. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And I'm just going to throw in a little part from Luke 9:29, just to give it the fuller context. And as he was praying, there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell down. They fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. So here the disciples had a mountain experience. And it's really important to have this experience. Because one, You know the current of life. If you don't know the current of life, you're fooling yourself. It's a flow. It's fast. And if you step out of it, you know, you feel unsafe. It's kind of secure in there. So to come up to a mountain to see God, you step out of that. And when you see God, you really get what you need. Let's look at 2 Corinthians real quick. It should be in your program. Chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. So it says, as you behold the glory of the Lord, you're changed. You get with you what you need when you see the Lord. So if you don't see the Lord and all you see is what's in front of you and you're in a current of life, you cannot be changed. If you don't see the Lord, you will waste your life. If you don't hear the Lord, you will waste your life. You can get a lot of stuff. But if you never behold the glory of the Lord, you cannot be changed. The only way is to behold the glory of the Lord. And when you behold it, it says you are changed into the same image. You can get a lot of stuff. You can get a lot of things. But you can never be changed into the image of God until you see God, until you see the glory of the Lord. So you may be thinking like these last 2 weeks, you know, or whatever in your life, at this point in your life, man, I really need something. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have been thinking like something is missing? I just need something. Maybe you think like, you know, if I just get more money, all right, I just need 1,000. You know where this goes, right? No, I need 2,000. Then by the time you're done, like, I just need $1,000,000. God, just give me $1,000,000 and I'll be straight. Or you may think like, man, you know, I just need a new job. I just give me a new job and I'll be fine. Or just give me more charisma. You know, give me, you know, just a new car. Just give me a new car. I'll be fine. I'll be straight. You know, but here it says, you know, what you need to see God. Amen. Right? You need to see Christ, because when you see the glory of the Lord, you're changed into the same image. This is what we need. We need to see the glory of the Lord. Amen. And when you see the glory of the Lord, you're changed into the same image. This is the thing to be desired. So Jesus takes his disciples, well, three of them, out of the routine of life for a second. No more healing the sick. No more raising the dead. No more giving sight to the blind. You could say, like, no more church dinners. No more committee meetings. You know, no more summer planning meetings. You know, he takes them away from all that for a second into a mountain to show them something. He leaves the other disciples behind, takes three of them. And the Bible says, as he walked, he began to pray. Amen. And when he prayed, his face changed. Mm-hmm. And his clothes changed. Yeah. And Mark adds the statement that it was whiter than any man can bleach. You know, no one can bleach clothes this white. This is important, though. Because, you know, we don't know if they really knew who Jesus is at this point. Sure, they probably, you know, think like, man, this is a righteous guy. You know, they may even think he's Messiah, he's king, he's the one that's coming, that has come to deliver his people. But when they see his clothes, they realize that they're white. Yeah. And not white like, you know, my mama can bleach some clothes, but they're really white. Yeah. With the glory of the Lord. Yeah. And this was really important. Because at this point, they see that Jesus is more than a mere man. But he's God. See, sometimes you can just get comfortable with the Lord. You know, here I am, Sunday morning. What we got to do? We got to put these chairs up. Okay, fine. We got to put the dividers up. All right, fine. Throw the pictures up. You know, we got to practice, you know, or whatever. You just get comfortable. But you need this experience, because in this experience, you see that Jesus is more. He's great. He is God. And the glory of the Lord is shining. You realize, like, wait a minute. There are some people who can get righteous on this earth, you know. Some righteous people, you know, they made themselves good. You can say they bleached their clothes, they bleached their garments, and you know, or whatever. But here, man, this is brighter than any of man's righteousness. They needed to see this. Now, at this point, Moses and Elijah show up, and they begin to say different things. So the glory of the Lord is there. Moses and Elijah show up, and you know what they're talking about? They're talking about Jesus' departure, how he's going to be betrayed, mocked, beaten, crucified, he's going to die, and rise again. They're preaching the gospel, basically. They're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the glory of the Lord is there, and Moses and Elijah is there, and the gospel is being preached right there. And this is interesting because we can say, you know what, I heard the gospel before. When I see the glory of the Lord, I want him to tell me how to be a better man. I want him to teach me how to pray till I levitate and float across the room. That's what I want. You know, we expect the glory of the Lord to show up and say, you know what, Dave Lyon, go two blocks, make a left, make another left. There you will find a garbage can. In that garbage can will be a book with gold letters. Open that book up. There will you find the words of life. I'm like, the glory of the Lord. But the glory of the Lord comes. Moses and Elijah is there saying, you know what? Jesus is going to die. He's going to die for your sins. But that's not the end. He's going to rise from the grave. Amen. And he's going to ascend into heaven. Amen. Ascend at the right hand of God. Amen. If that's not deep enough for you, I don't know what to say. We always want something deep, but that's what we need right there. We need to know that and understand that. You may have heard it all your life, but do you understand what it means? Hebrews says, pay close attention to the things that you have heard. It's in Hebrews 2, the first verse. Pay close attention. Yeah, you heard it, but dissect it. Understand it. The glory of the Lord is there, and the gospel is there. And then Peter, you know, he always got the great ideas. He said, okay, I got it. I'm going to make three tabernacles, if you want me to. I'm going to make one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. Then at that point, a cloud comes down. Now, peep the scene for a second. At this point, he's looking at where he's going to build his tabernacles at. Okay, got a tree over there. You know, it's about 4 feet in between that. I can build one tabernacle right there, one tabernacle right there. He's looking at the landscape. He said, you know what? I'm going to do this great thing for God. And while he's looking at the landscape, a cloud covers him. And now he can't see anything but this cloud. What a mercy from the Lord. He has this big idea that's all wrong. And a cloud comes and covers him. And in the cloud, a voice says, this is my son.
Amen.
Whom I love, and I'm pleased with him. Notice it didn't say, Peter, you know, I'm pleased with you. I love you. It said, this is my son. I'm pleased with him. I love him. Listen to him.
Amen.
In other words, stop. I don't need you to build me anything. I don't need you to build me these great manifestations of, you know, architecture. No, just stop.
Yeah.
Everybody look at the person next to you. Tell them stop. 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 Stop building stuff. I don't need you to. He said, Peter, I don't need you to build me anything. Peter makes a statement. He said, Lord, it's good for me to be here. What kind of statement is that? I mean, it may have been true, but what kind of statement is that? You know, it's good for me to be here. You know, I'm going to show you why it's good for me to be here. You know, I'm going to show you why you chose the right one. I'm about to work. I'm about to build one over here, and it's going to be this high and this wide, you know, and then the cloud comes to stop. Stop. I don't need you to show the world how great you are. And I don't need you to put your own interpretation of what you see. No, stop. You know, I think this speaks to us. God is saying, stop. I don't need you to build these great things to show me how good it is for you to be here. You know, I'm going to show the world how good, you know, I've always been a good person. And now that I'm a Christian, you know, oh, God chose the right one. I'm about to show the world how great I am. I'm about to show my neighbors how great I am. They're all going to say, man, this is a great guy. I'm going to build this, you know, whatever this organization or, you know, just stop. Stop trying to show people how great you are, how hard you work. Oh, I'm about to build these great things. No, stop. This is my son. No, I'm not pleased with you. I'm pleased with him. I love him. Listen to him. I got to ask a question. I had to ask this to myself too. So don't feel offended. When was the last time you heard God's voice? And he spoke to you. And he told you to do something. Because in one sense, you can say, you know, that's right. You know, I don't work. I don't do anything. You know, I just listen to God's voice. You know. Or, you know, I just don't do anything because, you know, I'm not sure what the Lord's voice is or what the, you know, if it's the Lord's leading or not. But he says, stop and listen to him. Meaning that he's speaking. Do you hear his voice? Because after this, they fall on the ground and they're afraid. Yeah. Right? And peep the contrast right here. One moment, he's up. He's ready to take on the world. You know, I'm going to build this. I'm going to build that. And then the next moment, he's on the ground, scared. Right? Isn't that what it says? Yeah. They fell face down to the ground.
Jesus says, don't be afraid.
Right. And when I first read this, I thought, man, God has them where he wants them. He got them face down on the ground, and they're, you know, ain't that what the song say? Fall face down as your glory shine. I'm like, okay, he got them face down. You know, they're bowing down, and God has them. But then Jesus taps them on the shoulder, said, no, get up. See, in one sense, you could say, you know, I don't do anything. So God doesn't want him building these great manifestations, but he don't want him on the ground either, scared. No, do you not do anything because you're scared? Do you not preach the gospel because you're scared that it's going to break certain relationships? You say, you know, that's why I don't do anything. You know, I just stay on the ground. No, he said, you're scared. You're terrified. I don't want you building these great things, but neither do I want you on the ground scared. I want you up listening to me. You see the difference? It's like, you know, you got to hear God's voice. Beholding the glory of the Lord. Hearing his voice. It's not that he doesn't want you to work, but why are you there? Are you there because God told you to go, or are you there because you want to go? Like Rex would say, who told you to wear that tie this morning? Did God tell you to wear that tie, or did you just put it on? See, it's not a matter of doing something or not doing something. That's what I'm really trying to say. But it's a matter of listening to the Lord's voice. One moment he wants to take on the world and build these things and show the world how great he is. And God says, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want you building your own thing, trying to prove to everybody how great you are and how good it was for you to be here. But on the other side, I don't want you on the ground either, scared, not doing anything. He says, get up. And when they got up, they saw Jesus. Jesus says, that's where I want you to be. Up, beholding me, seeing me, listening to me. And, you know, listening is hard because there's so many things to do. So many things to build. It's so hard to listen. You know, ask Martha, don't you care that my sister Mary have left me to do all the work? There's so many things to do, Lord. Why is she wasting her time listening? And Jesus says, she chose the better. She chose the better part. She chose to come, sit at my feet, and listen to me. Hey, Prisca, can you come here for a second? Come on, we haven't used you an example yet. This is Prisca. Everybody know Prisca?
Woo!
All right, Prisca, I got a question to ask you. Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, why are you here?
My mom.
Oh, your mom. That's a good answer. Good answer. Good mother. Now, do you know that the devil is after you? Did you know that? All right. Now, he really wants to get her. What's going to make the difference between you continuing with the Lord and you falling off and going away and maybe never coming back or something like that? Yeah. And you know what? And it's also having your own experience where you see God for yourself. And you're not just a Christian because it's the most fundamentally sound religion and, you know, and it speaks about love and self-sacrifice. No. It's because it's the glory of the Lord. And when you see the glory of the Lord, that's the thing that anchors you in the Lord. And that's the thing that makes a difference between you having your mom's religion. You know, I go, you know, because my mom took me. Then you have your own faith.
Amen.
I see the Lord for myself. And when you see the Lord for yourself, no one can take that away from you.
Amen.
So that's the thing to seek after. Amen. Cool. That's the thing that makes the difference when the wind blow. Whew, problems, issues. Have you seen the Lord? Man, I meant to ask you, Peter, can I use this? But I got to use it. It's a testimony. We were talking one day, and we were outside his house, and he was telling me, like, man, you know, at one point, things went right in my life. And he said, you said, I called on the Lord 1,000 times. You remember that? He said, I'm going to go in my basement, and I'm going to call on the Lord 1,000 times. And Peter said he went in his basement and called on the Lord 1,000 times. And I think he said when you got done, you went up in your house, and you were able to see things differently in your house. And you start kicking out things that wasn't there, like evil things, like, get out! Like something like that. He said he looked around and he felt someone right and he told it to get out. After he called on the Lord 1,000 times, his vision was different when he came up from that. And I was like, wow, cool stuff. You know, the thing about that is, there's one way to look at that. You could say, that's why I'm in the right church. You know, we got good pastors here. You know, they got the word. That's why I come here. That's right. You guys got the real thing. Call on the Lord 1,000 times. That's why I'm here. That's my pastor right there. You know? One way to look at it and say, you know, y'all got it. Y'all got it. Another way to look at it and say, you know what? I got to get what you got.
Amen.
That's another way to look at it. I got to get. If he called on the Lord 1,000 times and he received something, I got to get that. I can't say, you know what? That's just him. You know what? That's just for him. That's not me. You know what? You should be a little bit, you know, like, oh, man, I got to get that. How did you, 1,000 times? Was it 99 or 900? You know, how many times was it? Teach me how to do it. Show me that. I got to get what he got. That's how we live. It's not like some people, you know, can see the Lord. Some people can't. Some people never. No. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. And that glass part, I was wondering, what does that mean? Through a Coke bottle or something like that? But then I had to look it up. It's really like a mirror. You know, you see it in a mirror. I'm like, okay, are you looking at God in the mirror or are you looking at you in the mirror? And I was still kind of confused because that word glass is a mirror, beholding as in a mirror. And I'm like, I wasn't quite sure, but I know. When I'm examining myself in the Word of God, I see the glory of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I looking at God or am I looking at me? I'm probably looking at me, examining myself. And then in examination of who I am, I see the glory of the Lord. Why? Because I see, you know what, I'm depraved. Man, I'm really a sinner. I really need something greater than me. That's why. When Jesus' clothes, his clothes was white, marked as a statement, is greater than any man can bleach them or something like that. No one can bleach them that white. That shows that, no, you can't get this from any self-help books or anything like that, any guru. No, this is God right here. Why are we here this morning? We're not here because we got the best religion, you know. I'm a Christian, right? You know, I'm not a Muslim. No, I'm not crazy Muslim or crazy Buddhist. No, I'm a Christian. It's the best. No, it's not like that. We're here because it's the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is God. And we're here because the glory of the Lord has shined in our life. And now we have to keep beholding the glory of the Lord to be changed into his image. But it's hard when you're in the current. This is why you got to step out for a second. Say, you know what? Lord, I'm going to call on you 1,000 times. I know I have stuff to do right now. It's a current going on around me. There's lots of things I can do right now. But you know what? I'm going to stop. And I'm going to just step up for a second. I'm going to let the current keep going. And I'm going to call on the Lord. Lord, because I want to see you. And this is the thing to be desired. Whatever you think you need. Money, wealth, you know, cars, what jobs, whatever. You need to see God. Paul said, I seek to... lay hold of the one who lay hold of me. God has saved you. Now you got to go. God has grabbed you. He lay hold of you. He obtains you. Now you got to seek to obtain him. Come behold my glory so you can be changed into the same image.
Amen.
This is why this experience is so important. Because it makes the difference in your life. Are you here? Because, you know, you have the best pastors in the world. Which you do. But are you here to see the glory of the Lord? You're here because God laid hold of you. And now you're laying hold of him. You may say, man, you know, Dave Lyon, you're just so deep. You know, thanks for putting another burden on me. You're always pushing me, you know, to do But I'm going to tell you, this is not heavy. This is light. You know what's heavy? It's the insanity of doing the same thing, producing only a temporary glory. This right here produces the glory that will last. Going from glory to glory.
Amen.
This produces the glory of the Lord to see, and it's available. He said, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the thing that I desire the most. All you got to do is ask. Say, Lord, I need to see you. Lord, I want to see you. Speak to my life. What should I do? What should I do, Lord? What should I do today? Lord, you lead me and guide me. I'm tired of doing my own thing, showing everybody how great I am. Lord, you show me what to do. I want to listen to you. Which way should I go? Because you have to admit, first of all, that the reason why you're here is you got kind of swept in the current of life. Then you wake up in a certain place and you're like, wow. Did I choose it? I think I chose it. I don't know. I kind of got swept away. You got to admit that, first of all. That, you know what? I was weak. I got swept away in the current of life. And I ended up in a certain place. And now I need to hear your voice so I can really know what to do. Because I don't know why I do the things that I do. But now I want to listen to you. I want to see your face and get instruction from you.